Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Today's topic is on spiritual revelation, and I hope that I know you're ready for this topic, because I am, and we're going to talk about the continuity and the progression that is involved in understanding and trying to define and embrace the power of spirit, which many people refer to as the great spirit or the power of God or whatever. So maybe this will help you find your spirit today. All right. Yeah, when I look at the Bible, I think to myself, gosh, what an awesome book. What an incredibly powerful book this book is. And especially when I look at the Ten Commandments, I say to myself, what a tremendous amount of truth there is in these commandments. And whenever I look at any of the symbolism in the ancient religions, the fundamentalist religions, or in the Bible, or any of the more sacred texts that discuss God and spirit, I am amazed. In fact, I am in awe of some of the truth that is laid out in those books. It's very, very interesting. And did you know, it's curious to note that all these miracles in the Bible and before the Bible, they happened, many of them happened right before the birth of Christ, and of course the crucifixion and the ascension of Christ. But had you ever sat down and thought to yourself, why is it that someone never wrote a supplement to the Bible? Who has been able to keep track of the miracles that happened after the ascension of Christ? Or have there been any miracles of God that have happened since the ascension? The Bible is a pretty heavy book. And when you read this book and you read about all these incredible things, the burning bush and the walking on the water and creating this wine and all this bread and all this food, and all this healing that went on. I mean, like, and the Red Sea's party, you know, just all this stuff. It's almost like watching War of the Worlds, some kind of science fiction movie. But the Bible is a pretty incredible book. And I'm sure that the authors of the Bible had a very important and great intent. But one wonders why, after the New Testament was finished some 2,000 years ago, that no other supplements were really been written except for the Course in Miracles, which I don't think this modern planet accepts as a supplement to the Bible, which I do accept as a supplement to the Bible, but I don't think many of the rest of us do. But still, the point is that it makes you wonder how much truth there really is in the Bible. Because here's a book, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that is filled with so many wonders and miracles. It's almost like a cartoon or a myth. And it makes you think, why is it that we are not confronted with these types of miracles today in Israel by the spiritual leader in Israel, or in Rome, in Italy by the Pope, or even in Iran with the Ayatollah? Why is it that these great spiritual leaders do not have the power of God like Moses and Jesus and Joshua and Samson and Delilah? All these superheroes in the Bible where you cut the guy's hair and he's not as strong as an ox anymore. And you read this stuff, and the unfortunate thing about life is that this stuff that was written deep in Earth's history thousands of years ago is a lot of the philosophy and a lot of the information that we live on a day-to-day basis. Did you know America is a Christian Judaic nation that bases a lot of its ethics on this 2,000-year-old document? And I want you to know that America, obviously, is not the most perfect nation in the history of this planet, because America is a nation that was established on genocidic principles and a foundation of slavery. So I'm not putting this country down, but if that's what we get from using the Bible as a record of spirit or how to live our life, then I think that maybe we have a far way to go. Well, I like to read Silver Birch, the Silver Birch philosophies. Silver Birch is an American Indian spirit that channels through an English person in England and has published a whole series of books on philosophy of God and the Great Spirit. And right before I came into the show, I was looking for a topic. And I was reading, the one part of the book that I opened up was when Silver Birch was asked about the Ten Commandments. And Silver Birch responded, he says, you know what? The one thing about spirit that is so important to know is that spirit is not finite, nor is it something that can be defined or limited. And the fact that Moses or anyone would come up with 10 commandments that would tell us like it is, from birth to death, from the history of this planet to its end, right, that these Ten Commandments would be all that we should need to adhere to in order to adhere to true spirit, is so limiting, and it lacks so much truth and consciousness in the long run, that I think the reason why I was born was not only to produce and direct and host and express this show to you, but also to try to remove some of this thinking, some of this stubborn thinking. And I'm not really putting the Bible down as a book that has no symbolism, because the Bible is filled with symbolism. But you have to remember that we are entering a period right now. You see, in the beginning of the age of Pisces, which was 2,000 years ago, which specifically is the age of the religion, which specifically is a period in our world's history during the great year, which is a 24,000-year period. We have a great month period, which we refer to as the Age of Pisces, which lasts 2,000 years. And the Age of Pisces is specifically an age of religion, or like elementary school in the spirit. And Jesus is an individual, for example, like Mohammed and a lot of other the great teachers that rose up and ascended during the beginning of the Age of Pisces, is an individual that has helped establish this elementary school on this planet. Which means that if you take a look at the Bible, and no offense, and I don't want anyone mad at me for this topic, but in my opinion, the Bible will be looked back at in thousands of years, as long as man does not obliterate themselves on this planet, the Bible will be looked at like a first grade primer book in spirit. Because the age of Pisces is the age of religion and the age of giving people something to believe in, when sometimes they have nothing to hold on to. I want you to know that when the Jewish race was established on this planet, and I do believe that some of the roots of Judaism, the Kabbalistic roots of Judaism, are beyond this realm and even beyond this planet. There were some faults in the Judaic principles because of the limitation given them. They were defined as the chosen. So it was really difficult for them to branch out and give the rest of the planet any hope or any spirit, because the way they lived in their history, they felt they were special. And where did that put everyone else? Like animals or what? So there was really no room for expansion, because something happened in that religion, some kind of ego, that prevented expansion of philosophy. Well, then the Age of Pisces rolled along. We were locked into the Age of Aries when Judaism came along, the Age of Taurus. And the Age of Aries, Age of Taurus was values and love and worth, and the Age of Aries was self. There's that closed-minded thinking, the chosen. And then the Age of Pisces came around, which is the age of spirit and religion and experimentation and a tremendous self-destructive period on world history, because we are searching for spiritual identity. That's why there's so much competition in religion, and there's so much confusion, and there's so much anxiety and death and murdering and threats. And this person we will sentence to death, Salman Rushdie. And this race we will sentence to death, the Jews in Germany. You know, there's all this killing and fighting going on over people trying to find out the truth behind God. It's funny that when Jesus Christ came along 2,000 years ago, whether or not he is the true Son of God or the Messiah, it makes no difference to me. Because from what I have learned, we all have the same qualifications or capabilities as any man or any woman, which means we could all ascend to a messianic state. But I think what Christ came to the opinion of was that, first of all, a lot of people don't know this, but Jesus Christ knew about astrology in Egypt. He studied astrology in Egypt and India, so he was aware of the great month. He was aware of a 2,000-year period of torment on this planet that would last until the age of clarity would come upon us. The age of clarity being the age of Aquarius, or the age of humanity, or the age of intelligence, intellect, and technology for the betterment of this planet, for this people. But you know, before Jesus left the planet, you know, he decided, because he was a very wise man, that maybe he could do something to give the rest of the planet hope, besides the Jewish people, who felt like they were the chosen. Well, when Jesus came up with this philosophy, obviously, a lot of his friends and relatives and people in the religion were very upset. And they didn't want anybody out there claiming they were son of God or son of light or had some kind of higher consciousness or whatever. But still, this man was like a herald to that age, the age of Pisces. Back then, 2,000 years ago, we go back to the year zero, right? the first decade, right? That was a new age to them. And before the birth of Christ, the three wise men who were astrologers were people that were able to follow a grand configuration in the sky of planets and possibly planetary configurations. Maybe whatever was there was very bright. And it led them to the east, to Bethlehem, where they intuitively and psychically, because they were aware, evolved beings also, found this baby that was born to a miracle birth, supposedly. A virgin birth, right? Well, obviously, the information surrounding the birth of this entity was important because he was the New Age herald for the age of Pisces. See? And this was a 2,000-year effect. Now, you know, there's so much symbolism in the Bible, and today's topic being revelation of spirit, it's interesting to note that all throughout the Revelation chapter of the Bible, when the tribulation is discussed, or the end of the world, we're talking blood, bloodshed, and pain, and doom, and destruction, whatever, it's funny how all of a sudden, in the middle of all this hell, here comes Jesus to save. Just like the guy, the knight in the shining armor, here comes the Lone Ranger, right? But you know, that the symbolism there is specifically symbolism, because I believe that after Christ did his mission on this planet, he received so much benefits from his soul that he actually evolved beyond this dimension. He was vaporized, which is what we call taken up or ascended, and he became one with God, one with the universe, and one with each and every person that would ever be born on this earth, which means that we literally have a Christ circuit or a messianic imprint on our souls as reflected to us from what Jesus attained in his life cycle, which means that the return of Christ symbolically revealed in the Bible is specifically the return of this type of consciousness in the hearts and minds of hundreds of millions of people at once, which is what we're dealing with. This is 1989. I don't want to give you the chills, but we are 11 years away from 2000, which means the age of Pisces is over. We are on the periphery of entering this new age, the age of Aquarius, which is the age of clarity. It's not an accident that Earth's history goes in 2,000-year segments, because that's when the great age changes. So, what does this mean? Well, on the one hand, notice there's an interesting symbolism in the Bible that pits the Christ versus the Antichrist. And if you watch the movies that come out of Hollywood, like movies like The Omen, they literally, typically pull up this symbolism from the Bible and reflect it in the lives of individuals. The Christ would be a man, and so would the Antichrist, individuals. But don't you understand, the Bible is a book that is 2,000 years old, and it was written by evolved people of those times, of that time. You, as an individual, probably have more consciousness, no offense to the great authors of the Bible, than most of the authors of the Bible, because this is 1989, this is the future. We are talking about continuity and progression and evolution. You know, what do you think? Mankind and humanity has laid dormant for 2,000 years? And we have come a far way. And I have met a lot of people that definitely have Christ-like qualities. I'm proud to say that. See? So, you know, the point of this topic, more than anything else, is to give you my opinion as to what is going on. Yes, I do think we are entering a revelation period, as depicted in the Bible. And yes, I do feel that there may be a tribulation, filled with lots of pain and death and suffering. But also, I want you to note, the symbolism in the Bible does not discuss two men. It discusses two philosophies. And note that world religion, the fundamentalist religion thought, is awaiting the return of one man, Jesus Christ, to save this planet. And that, in my opinion, is the Antichrist philosophy. I want you to understand this real clear, because there are hundreds of millions of people waiting to be saved by one man who may never show. And notice what the New Age is all about. The New Age is all about a Christ-like consciousness, a messianic consciousness, the return of Christ in the hearts and minds of billions of people. See, Christ is no longer limited to one body. He spreads himself out among the masses. And there's even this guy in London, some guy who's in the New Age movement, I forget his name, Benjamin Cream or something like that, who tells us that this Jesus is alive in the body of some guy, which may be true. You know, I'm not putting that down, because he may be alive in you too, Marla, or you too, Vicky, or you too, Debbie, or maybe you too, Bruce. You know, why shouldn't Jesus come back as a woman? I look at the God force more as a feminine energy anyway myself. Thank goddess, right? But the thing is, the point of this topic here is to remind you that in your quest for spirit and in your quest for growth, remember that spirit, to be defined, you must have a foundation of open-mindedness. And in my opinion, it is important to search for further truth, not to limit yourself to what you read in books or what could be thousands of years old, because mankind has come a far way. And if this planet does in fact go to hell, and there's hundreds of millions of people trapped in the cities waiting for Jesus to come back and save them, and Jesus doesn't show, where's the New Age at? It's surviving. It's seeking sanctuary because it understands the philosophy, the ethic, and the vibration of the Age of Aquarius, the New Age, and the awesome rebirth transition that we are going through. And one day, you know, I'm not trying to put this planet down. There may be germ warfare, there could be plagues, there could be nuclear war or tragedy, and much of the planet may be gone, along with all of this antiquated thought and dogmatic philosophy and the people that promote it. But then there'll be those of us that'll be in the woods, in the country, in Canada, in New Zealand, in parts of Arizona, who knows where sanctuary might be, and they will be embracing the philosophy of the messianic consciousness, which is what the Course in Miracles discusses, the God that dwells within the individual. The Age of Aquarius, the meaning of the Age of Aquarius, restores significance and power to the individual, not just one man, all of humanity. It must be all of the people or none of them. Isn't it funny how the Declaration of Independence states in this country, we the people. Have we ever once adhered to that philosophy? It should be all of the people or none of them, but it's not. Because there's still people in this country that are starving, that are homeless, that are dying of diseases, and the country turns its other cheek, as do its citizens. And notice what we are. We are a Judeo-Christian nation, waiting for one man to save us. So, obviously, this is a really far-out, controversial topic, and I do appreciate your comments on this, if you have any. And I'm liable to get that call today on my answering machine that says, Farley, you're Satan, you know, because there's people out there, they don't want to hear this. They really don't want to hear this, but I believe it. I believe the true Christ is symbolized in the Revelation chapter of the Bible is a return of a force that will be in the hearts and minds of millions of people that will offer salvation for this planet in the New Age. And I do believe that the philosophy that one man will come back and save us is in fact the Antichrist philosophy. And you wait and see. If you live long enough in the history of this planet, you wait and see if someone somewhere doesn't come about and claim to be Christ. And someone somewhere doesn't end up taking a bullet and almost dying, just like it says in the Revelation chapter. And that would be the evidence that this is the true Jesus, because he survived. Or one or the other, that would be the Antichrist or something. The Antichrist supposedly has 666, you know, and the symbol of the beast and all this and that. And you could actually see that symbolism everywhere in modern technology. It's everywhere. It's all over the place. So I'm a searcher and I'm a seeker, and this is my philosophy that I've come to know, and I'm comfortable with it. It feels good. I'd rather, instead of waiting to be saved by one person, I'd rather look at all the people and see Christ in their eyes and in their hearts and their minds, and there's the hope for the salvation of this planet. And if I'm wrong, fine. Sure, I accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Lord and Savior of the universe. But I also accept you as the Son of God and Daughter of God and Lord and Savior of the universe. There's no limitations. Why not? It doesn't say in the Bible, don't accept anyone else as Son of God, does it? Show me if it does. I'd like to know. Anyway, how do I know it's the Age of Aquarius? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the progression of the equinoxes is moving into position every 2,000 years, and the Sun comes under the vibration of a different zodiacal sign in space. And that's why we've been under the influence of Pisces for 2,000 years, and that's been the Piscean vibration. And now we're moving into a total vibration. If you ever sat down at a table with a Pisces and an Aquarius, the Pisces may sit there with question marks in their eyes. They may be loving and spiritual and psychic and a former drug addict or an alcoholic and still very together, but that Aquarius is quick-minded, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, knowledgeable, very, very expressive, and more clarity in how they explain things, how they study things, understand things. I'm not trying to say an Aquarius is better than a Pisces, but as far as making choices are concerned, I think an Aquarius is quicker. Pisces may sit there and get all confused and worried and depressed, and the Aquarius will choose. Right or wrong, it'll choose, because it has a knowing. It has a gift. I know lots of Pisces people that have Venus and or Mars in Aquarius, and they are gifted. And did you know, the way our schooling setup is set up, people with Aquarius planets get the A's. That's right. It's the Aquariuses that get the A's, and the rest of us have to struggle. Because the system is geared for Aquarian understanding, absorption of knowledge and intellect. That's what the Aquarian vibration is. At this point, you're probably sitting there going, Farley, you've made some sense today. I think I'll get my chart at this point because I want to know what's going on in the new age. Yep. When the time comes and we all must seek sanctuary or we must have salvation because we want to preserve the knowledge and preserve the new age, we'll know when to do it. If the world does go to hell for some reason, just read the newspapers. Watch CNN. If someone does something foolish and a world crisis is created, then it will become tremendously obvious. I mean, take a look at the United States right now. We're more vulnerable now than we were during Pearl Harbor. We have no Secretary of Defense. With this tower garbage going on, the entire Pentagon is a mess right now. God forbid someone should attack us right now. We got our pants down. Did you know that? Welcome to America. Is Los Angeles a target? No, we're not a target. Anyway, it's fun. Don't worry, right? Be happy. Well, I don't know where I got this topic at. I'll tell you, minutes before I got on the air, I had no idea what I was talking about, what I was going to talk about today. And the question is, what I said, does anybody know what I just said? I got to hear the show to find out what was discussed here, because I was gone during this topic, so who knows what was delivered. But anyway, I do think that whatever was said was important, and I do kind of space out during the show when I pull into my higher self. And that was really a solid trance, so I was really blasted there. But I do know that something is going on. I know something very heavy is going on because of the Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune conjunction in Capricorn, the sign just before Aquarius, notice that. And also, with this problem, this whole moon wobble junk, and this tower thing with the Department of Defense, and all this germ warfare cover-up that's going on, it makes you wonder that something is going on in this planet that could be very dangerous. And that if you do believe the symbolism in the Bible, because this is the end of the Age of Pisces, well, that Revelation chapter hasn't totally happened yet. A lot of it has in World War I and World War II. You can really find what went on in World War I and World War II, but they're not called World War I and World War II by mistake, because when they number them like that, that means they're expecting a three. So it's important in this fast-moving age, in this age of technology, in this age of Aquarius, when we have totally blasphemed the power of Aquarius, by instead of using technology for the good, we have used it for death purposes, for military purposes, and this stuff is all going to change. It's got to. It's got to change. And it's got to change soon. 11 years or less, by the year 2000. Maybe this year, maybe next. But I do believe that as Christ was the New Age herald for the Age of Pisces, you are the New Age herald for the Age of Aquarius. Humanity, people, we the people. So this may be a good show to have on tape and listen to a couple times in case God knows what happens. At least you'll know that you heard it here in Los Angeles in 1989 on KFOX, so you won't feel totally ignorant as to what went down, when it did. And when everyone says, what happened? And other people say, I don't know, it happened so quick. It's all of a sudden, everything's different. What happened? Well, you'll have a little cassette tape, and if it's not caught in a nuclear burst, it may still have data on it. Unless you're like Bonnie O'Brien, who sits there and types all of my topics out on paper to make sure she has them all on top. I love you, Bonnie.